The church leaders had a meeting the last 2 days. We went out to a place called Emmaus Village, which is about half an hour from here. A number of us have been meeting regularly, and this was our second time. We've been away for 24 hours, which was really good. We enjoyed it. And we took the theme of the Lord's Prayer as our main theme, taking bits of it over the course of the time we were away, and we were very blessed by that. And one thing in particular came out, which I'd already planned to speak about today, so I haven't quite made up my whole sermon within the time of coming back yesterday and this morning, and that is the kingdom of God. And I'm wanting to speak today about the final kingdom, the final culmination of everything that's going on, everything that we're experiencing and will experience until that day. And we've been singing a bit about that day, the troubles we have, the light coming on until that day, until that day. I did speak about last year about some things, about what happens when we die, and looked at some of the scriptures to do with what happens with our bodies, what happens with our minds, the fact that there's a different relationship between the material world and the spiritual world. There was Jesus walking on water, which we can't exactly do here, unless you're part of Kinron, and that therefore there are things like that which form the future that we will be having in that final kingdom. So what I really wanted to do this morning was actually to talk about the nature of that kingdom. What is the nature of the kingdom as a whole, as opposed to some of the detailed bits about it? And Adrian was actually leading the section on the kingdom yesterday, and in many ways the Lord's Prayer is the one that defines it most clearly, and that's what we were looking at yesterday. When we say, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So what is the kingdom? The kingdom is when God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven. It's very simple, really. We can say, well, what's it look like? How can we see it? What is it? It is actually the time will come when earth and heaven together will come under God's rule and authority, and his will be the only will which is going forward in all areas of life. And that's very different from what we are experiencing now. I'll read just one or two things from the book of Revelation, which speaks about that, and we don't have a lot of detail about it, but just what's written here. I am on 5:9, but I'm in Hebrews. That's not very good. I will get there. Yes. So here's a new song being sung in heaven. John, as you know, wrote the book of Revelation, and it was he who had this picture of what it was going to be like in that final kingdom. He was given this prophetic vision of it. And there's a lot of stuff in it, and some of it's very difficult to understand, but some of it's quite simple to understand. They sang a new song. There was there out there with the Lamb at the center. And they sang this song, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." So God's kingdom encompasses every nation, every people, every tongue, every language. So that's one thing we know that will be there in that final kingdom. And then the familiar verses that you've heard before. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And it goes on to talk about final battles and judgment and so on. And it talks about the river of life flowing out and the trees for the healing of the nations. This is a kingdom of righteousness and justice. No longer a curse, nothing shameful or deceitful or impure in that final kingdom. For many people in this world, that is just hogwash. That's just wishful thinking, childish. We'd all like to think it ends well. We'd all like to hope and believe that this is all going to turn out all right in the end. Just sing and keep your spirits up, if you'd like, when you're feeling down. For the Christian, this is a copper-bottomed guarantee, absolute certainty. And that's what we need to remember and to keep hold of as we go through our lives here. That there will come a time when this world, this life, this universe comes to its present end and will be transformed into that final kingdom under God's gracious rule. When Jesus was asked at his trial and spoken to at his trial before Pontius Pilate, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom was of the kingdom of God. And the way things are run here does not match the kingdom of God. It's not totally bad here, but it has many things which make it poorer and weaker and crueler and unfair and deathly. So, if we believe that, what effect does that have on us? How should we respond to that? There are people in our history and today who live in very, very bad conditions. Slaves, and I'm thinking back to Africa and but also to American slaves and so on. And they, even though they were in that position, they were treated as property. They weren't even treated as human beings. They were their master's possessions, and they had to do exactly what their master told them, whatever that was, how long it worked, however foul the conditions they were living in, even their death and their life was up to the master. And yet many of those slaves sang what we call spirituals. And the spirituals they sang, even in that condition, were to do with the final kingdom that they could look forward to. Michael rowed the boat ashore, swing low, sweet chariot, deep river. And they could even make fun out of it in order to lift their spirits. You'll never get to heaven in an old Ford car because an old Ford car won't get that far. But they were looking at that future and knowing that that was true, and that's what kept them going. And I think certain rugby fans still sing some things like that when England plays rugby. Swing low, sweet chariot. So it's not gone out of our language or our experience. The Israelites had to be freed from slavery in Egypt. They had to be freed from exile in Babylon. There are many examples of when they were in slavery or when they were in those conditions and they were brought out of them in God's good grace. And they're sort of foretelling the freedom and the increase and the wonderful nature of that as we move forward from that. We still have conditions in this country of modern slavery, and 39 people dying in a refrigerated van is a stark reminder of that. So there are still people in this world who are in those sorts of conditions that those American slaves, African American slaves, were in as well. And for them, the starkness of the difference between the conditions they're in and the promise of that final kingdom is huge, and can feel like we can never get there. That could just, our spirits are crushed. And often that's what happens. And actually you start to behave like an animal if you're treated like an animal, unless you have something to save you from it. But for many of us, the contrast isn't as clear as that. That we live in this world, we live a certain way, we live with things which are not right in this world. We sometimes live as if there's a deadness of the soul which traps us and holds us, and we're looking for false ways to get out of it, whether it's drugs or more drink or more sex or whatever it is. And yet those are never the answers that are going to provide us with any real lasting solution, because they just take us into a deeper sense of meaninglessness and hopelessness. But Jesus left heaven to become a member of the kingdom of earth. He's a citizen of heaven, and he came to become a citizen of earth so that we, who are citizens of earth, can become citizens of heaven as well. And he did that by explaining and telling us what the kingdom of heaven is like, what the real kingdom is like, as it were, rather than the kingdom that we see around us in so many different ways. And he used all sorts of means to tell us that. The parables are all about the kingdom of God, whether it's to do with a mustard seed being sown, whether it's to do with a pearl of great price, whether it's to do someone going out and sowing seed. Parable after parable is him trying to explain to us what the kingdom of God is like, with stories that he used to do that. And he didn't just do it by telling us beatitudes and the other things, how we should live. He showed it in the life that he was living. So he demonstrated it by healing, by using the power that God had given him to be able to do those things, by touching lepers, by embracing people who were very sinful, by offering forgiveness and love wherever he went. And what he was saying was, there is a different way to live here. You don't have to follow the ways of this world. You don't have to live as the people around you do live, as it were. You can stand out as a member of the kingdom of heaven as well as a member of the kingdom of earth. And he says what effectively happens is that we then, if we look around us, we then feel, and the Bible often says this, we are strangers, aliens and strangers in this world, because our true home is with God, the kingdom of heaven. And if that's our true home, we feel strange in this world in many ways. Why do people behave like this? Why is these things going on? And Jesus points us to that different way that we can be. And it doesn't mean that we reject everything around us. We remain citizens of this earth. And this is a beautiful earth. This is God's creation. The beauty that we see around us, even though it gets spoilt and broken in many ways, is that visible, beautiful creation that we have. So in a sense, this is our home, because God prepared this earth for us to live in. So we are at home, and yet we're not at home. if you see what I mean, because we're not at home in the sense that we're not at home with the way this world is run and the way things happen and the way we behave from time to time. We're not really in our home. Some people have compared it to being in an occupied country. In the Second World War, the German armies invaded France and covered quite a lot of France with their forces and their laws and the way they ran things. So that the French person, the French family, was living in a French village with the farms and with the other thing, their trees, their flocks, their whatever it was. They were speaking their own language, French language. So they were in one sense at home, but in another sense they weren't at home because they were completely ruled by what the Germans wanted to do. So the Germans laid down the law, the Germans instructed that their life and everything else depended on what the Germans were going to tell them to do and how they were going to do it. And that's in a sense the sort of position that we're in, that in many ways we're at home, but we're, as it were, followed and wooed and make choices and do all the things like that as if we weren't at home, as if we weren't in the home of God and his love and his peace and all the things. So the phrase has been used that we're resident aliens. So we're resident here, but we're actually aliens in the sense that it's not really our ultimate home or our ultimate desire. So just as God showed us his world that he put us in, he sent Jesus to show how to live in this world and through that experience. And Jesus did that. And to demonstrate how alien it was, the way of God, he ended up being crucified on a cross. So that's the nature of the alien nature of the kingdom of God into our world around us, that it can end in that. The fantastic news for us is that he didn't just talk about the kingdom of God or show us in where he lived the kingdom of God by actually dying on that cross. He won our forgiveness of sins. He won us a new life. He won us the opportunity to have God living within us by his Holy Spirit and actually being able to live that different life, offering everything back to God and saying, I want to live your life, I don't want to live my own life. And that is going to be living the kingdom of God here as well as when we get there at that final ending. And actually it's true that we are at home here, because when we die, we don't go off to a heaven where in the clouds. The final place where we are is here, because it's a new heaven and a new earth. And it says God is dwelling with his people, and he is here with heaven, a transformed earth, a transformed heaven, coming together under the rule and the way of God. And so this is the place we belong, actually, but it's in alien hands to some extent at the moment. He will be with them, and they will be, and he will be their God. So this land is our home, and the vision of God's promised future will shape our behavior here and now. If we know that there is a day coming when God will bring together every tribe and nation, every language, every tongue, that means that final kingdom is going partly to be shaped by every country, every language, bringing their particular color and design into a kingdom. So we will be sharing that. So what does that mean? We want to love people of every nation and every tribe and everything. We don't need to sit here saying, I don't want all these alien people coming into our country and doing all this type of thing. We want country for people like us. We understand that. That's better for us. We lived in Newham for a number of years. And that became such a mixed group of races. It was unbelievable. The white British were 16% when we left. But there were countries. We used to say, you don't have to go to the ends of the earth to preach the gospel. The ends of the earth have all come to us, and here they are. And there were Tamil churches and Filipino churches and Portuguese and French and just a mass. And what our job was to do is to try to bring those churches together and say, actually, we're all worshipping the same God, and let's do as much as we can together as a group of people. And we didn't have to travel very far to do that. So that's one aspect to say, okay, what is our attitude to people of other races and other cultures and so on? We don't have to worry too much about that. And should we be praying for people? And there we are sending these boxes off to Belarus. If every tear is to be wiped away, and every pain is going to be healed, and that justice will roll like a river, then what part can we play in doing that now? What part can we play in ensuring justice, or helping or standing with people who are experiencing injustice, or not being able to do the things that they would like to do, or encouraging people to take away some of the pain that is going on in this world? To be able to witness that actually Jesus, through me, is able to provide some support, some encouragement, some life into people that are around us all the time. The kingdom is one of love, of kindness, of beauty, that the poor will find rest and the weak will find relief. And so that's part of what God is asking us to be in the power of his Spirit. We want to fill our lives with things that are going to last. And actually, injustice, cruelty, pain has, in the great order of things, a very short shelf life. Sell-by date. Because eternity is going to be under God's rule, under God's justice. So we may be sitting here thinking, oh, there's nothing we can really do about the injustice of this world. The pain's just going to go on. It's been going on for centuries. It's going to go on for centuries. We don't know how long life here is going to last. But what we do know is eternity is longer than life on this earth is going to last, whatever that is. And therefore, our lives are going to have what? 70 years, if we're okay. 80, 90. What about eternity? So isn't it best for us to get on the line of being in God's kingdom now and working that out in the lives that we lead and how we treat people and what we do with other people and how we work it while we're here in the power of God's Spirit, than saying, oh, well, there's nothing much we could do here. Our lives are just get on with it and wait for that time. If it's coming, that'll be good. Yep, sounds good. So that's the encouragement, really. As I said, Jesus is a citizen of heaven, became a citizen of earth, so that we as citizens of earth can become citizens of heaven. And taking another thing from Revelation, it says that there were loud voices in heaven. There was a trumpet and loud voices. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. Amen. Jesus said, I've come to give good news to the poor, freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, release for the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he will enable us to do it. We won't do it with great fanfares and trumpets, that way it won't for heaven to do that. We don't do it by saying, I'm standing for God, I'm standing for Jesus, and those who want to follow him, come with me, and we're going to do great things here. We're going to achieve this, and we're going to achieve that, and we're going to achieve the other in the power of God. That's all about us. That's not about God. So we don't have to have the great fanfares and pointing to how good we've been and how much we've done. That's what the Pharisee did in the temple. Yes, I give my tithes to the poor and I come to the temple and I do all those things. I'm standing for God. Actually, just the day-by-day things that happen in our lives are our opportunity to demonstrate and love and demonstrate the love of God, demonstrate the kingdom of God. And we have the power to do that. And we don't have to fill ourselves with artificial substances or do all sorts of things in order to make our life better. It's better with him. And he provides all we need. Amen.